If you like traveling internationally, most likely or possibly your favorite part is when you go through customs. Yeah? If you haven't traveled internationally, customs always isn't the most favorite time of your journey. As you're flying into whatever country, you get these documents that you get to fill out. Oftentimes they're the same for different countries, but maybe a little different here and there, but they ask you to declare what kind of food that you're bringing to the country. If, depending on what country it is, it could be fruits and vegetables, different other kinds of food. And so usually I am challenged at this moment on the plane before I get to customs, because I often pack a good lunch with me, and I usually pack more than I can eat. I don't know if you have that problem, that you can't eat everything you pack. Maybe I just still think that I'm like these high schoolers and college students that can eat a lot. So there I am. I still have my bag of apples and maybe my carrot sticks or whatever else. And when I lived at home at my parents' place, my mom would pack my lunch, and she always packed in overabundance. So there I get the choice. What are my choices in that moment when I have to declare what I'm bringing into the country? Anyone? Okay, I could eat it all really quick, just really stuff my mouth full of all this food. My neighbors around me would be like, man, this country has food. But the other option is I could declare it, and then what happens is there's usually two lines, something for the line that no one has to declare anything, and then the other one that goes to the right behind some, like, you know, skirted area where you feel like you're like, where am I going? And that's where you have to declare something. So I had done this a fair amount of times going to different countries, and so I was like, you know what? Apples and carrot sticks aren't going to hurt anyone, right? What does Ryan do? I've been to several different countries, and I've done different things, and I haven't been arrested yet. But the place that I find myself in that moment, and I struggled with finding a story this last week, a story that would point out the struggle that I was in the moment. Now, that decision to take carrot sticks and apple slices into a foreign country is not really high up there in the moral dilemma kind of experience, right? Challenge. But all of us have many different decisions, many different opportunities to make decisions to tell the truth. If I wrote down that I had something, then I'd have to go talk to them about it. Sometimes I'd tell them what I had, and they're like, enjoy your carrot sticks. As I thought of the different stories I could have told, I thought of other stories that would have shown Ryan making decisions that I'm not proud of. They are decisions that I, looking back on it, I hang my head in shame as I have fallen and reveal my brokenness. Last week, I had the opportunity to speak here, and we talked about brokenness, particularly in our families. And it's a lot easier to talk about other people's brokenness than it is to talk about our own brokenness, right? You can say, you know, I come from a broken family. But what you're doing is, or what I can easily say that, and I'm just kind of like, yeah, the family I have is broken. But what I recognized this week as I was preparing for this sermon is that I neglected to focus on the reality that it looks like, what it looks like to look in the mirror. Each one of us, if we are honest with ourselves and we look in the mirror, we can't just say, yeah, I come from a broken family, but we look in the mirror and we say, I am broken. So last week I read off a list of all the things that how my family was broken, and it's easier. But this week I need to take a look at myself, at Ryan. The Bible verse in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, talks about how all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and I am one of those individuals. So making it super personal this morning, instead of my family has liars in it and cheats, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I will make it personal. My name is Ryan, is a liar. Ryan is a cheat. Ryan is an adulterer. Ryan is a thief. Ryan is full of pride. Ryan is full of selfishness. Not a comprehensive list, but one that gets real personal. Thankfully today, I feel in good company. You know where I'm going, right? The question that I want to ask myself, or that we're asking today, is, I am broken. Ryan is broken. What can I do about it? But the same question that I have for myself goes for each one of us here. Is, you are broken. What are you going to do about it? It gets super personal, right? If you are to apply what I said just to myself just a few seconds ago to yourself. I'm not going to look anyone in the eye as I say this, so if I'm looking in your general direction, I'm not specifically talking to you, but let the Holy Spirit talk to your heart. You are a liar. You are a thief. You are a cheat. You are an adulterer. You are full of pride. You are selfish. Doesn't feel good, does it? It doesn't feel good to focus on our own brokenness, but you are broken. What are you going to do about it? There's a few verses in the Bible that talk about our brokenness. Look at a few here. First, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 7. Romans 8, verse 7, and this talks about the struggle that is our existence, our brokenness in our lives. It says, the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. This is the experience that you have and that I have. We want to do our own thing. We want to be selfish. Another great verse found in Job chapter 14 and verse 4. This talks about the ability that you have to bring up good in your life. Job chapter 14 and verse 4, it says, who can bring what is pure from what is impure? And I love the author here. It says, no one, with a little exclamation mark. You and I cannot bring pure unbrokenness out of our broken existence and who we are. You are broken. What are you going to do about it? Again, like I said just a few minutes ago, it's easier to talk about our family, right? Oh yeah, aunt, uncle, brother, sister, whomever. But I believe that God wants us to focus on our challenges, how he wants to work with us today. Thankfully, we are in good company. If you open the Bible, you will see person after person that is broken and in need of the same help and is asking the same question that you and that I am asking today. I am broken. You are broken. We are broken. What are we going to do about it? The neat thing about the people in the Bible and the stories that we can read in the Bible is that they've already lived and experienced on their journey, and we can see how God interacted with them. We can see how God interacts with broken people like you and like me. So today we're going to take a look at someone in Scripture who was broken, which we could look at almost everyone in the Bible and find that. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 28 with me this morning. It's not going to take you long to find Genesis chapter 28, but I'm going to catch us up with the story that we find ourselves in here in Genesis chapter 28. In chapter 27, something happens. This whole story that we're in the middle of, it is focused on the son of Abraham. His name is Isaac, and he has two sons. And just pop quiz to anyone, Bible memory, who are the two sons of Isaac? Esau and Jacob. Yeah? And they're twins. Wait. I said Esau and Jacob, right? Okay. Esau and Jacob. Now, in chapter 25, verse 28, it says that Isaac loved Esau, and Rebekah, Isaac's wife, loved Jacob. We're not going to focus on that piece of it, but we're going to see it played out in the story I'm about to tell you. The time around chapter 27 of Genesis, the time comes for Isaac to share a special blessing with his oldest son, Esau. And this blessing is significant because it is the blessing of God to bless a son in particular, to lead the family, to be blessed with power and wealth and all the blessings that God wanted to bless Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and the descendants of Abraham. And this blessing was special and significant. And so he calls Esau, Isaac calls Esau, and says, "Hey, son, I'm going to give you this blessing that I've told you about, that you've been waiting for your whole life. Go out and go hunting and find an animal and come back and make me a stew, and I will bless you." Well, who was listening at that time but Rebekah, a studious mom, making sure that everyone's taken care of. And she hears what Isaac said to Esau, and she goes and she finds Jacob. She says, "Jacob, go find two goats. Go find two goats, bring them back to me, and we will make a stew for your dad just the way he likes it, and you are going to go get the blessing that was meant for Esau." Again, lots in the story we could focus on, and if you have time this afternoon, you can read all the juicy details in chapter 27 of Genesis. But Jacob does that. He goes in to his father, and he acts like he is Esau. He acts like he's Esau. He deceives his father and tricks him into giving him the birthright. How he does that is he lies multiple times. He acts like he's his brother, but he's not. And his father gives him the blessing. Now, just a little after Esau shows up, right after Jacob heads out from where his dad's at, and when Esau comes in, his dad is shaken by this experience, and Esau is super angry. Super angry at Jacob for stealing his blessing. Now, in chapter 28, toward the end of 27 and the beginning of chapter 28, we see that Esau says, "I'm going to kill Jacob." And he makes a promise with himself. And so Rebekah and Isaac send Jacob away, say, "Hey, you need to go to Haran and find a wife." But everyone knows the real reason why Jacob is leaving. And so that's where we pick up the story in chapter 28 of Genesis. When you are in the midst of your brokenness, when you are finding yourself just on the other side of making bad decisions, or finding yourself feeling the guilt that comes from being a broken person and reflecting on the things that you've done, like Jacob, what comes up in your heart? Is it peace and joy and contentment? No. It is worry. It is anxiety. All the things that you and I experience all the time. When we have spent our time and done things that are not what God has called us to do, we experience things that God did not desire for us to experience. And I believe these are the things that Jacob is experiencing as he's running away from his family. And as he's heading away from his family, he's leaving everything he'd ever known behind, his family, his friends, the security of knowing that tomorrow what it holds, everything is behind him as he's heading to a place he has only heard about from his mom. So that's where we pick up the story in Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 and 11. So look with me. It says, Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. Do you imagine that Jacob's sleep was just like that he went to bed really quick that night? With all that guilt and at some level, I wonder if Jacob was wondering if his brother was like hunting him now. I can imagine that Jacob was hurting. But even more than losing the connection with his parents and his friends and all the security that he had, I believe that Jacob was torn in his heart because he was worried about something in particular. When you and I crash and burn in our brokenness, whatever that is for you in the moment or as you look in the past, you probably had the same challenge that Jacob is having here. Jacob's question is, okay, so what's the direction to Haran? Yeah. How do I get there? What does God have for me in the future? But a bigger question that I believe that Jacob was wrestling with was, God, do we still have a relationship? God, have you cut off your connection with me because I am broken, because I crashed and burned? You and I can have that same question. The brokenness that you know you have, you can ask, Lord, has this separated you from me? The thing I love about our God is what he shows us here in Genesis chapter 28. As we look at how God interacts with broken people in Scripture, it shows how God wants to interact with us today. So look with me in the next few verses, verses 12 through 15 here in Genesis chapter 28. Verse 12 in Genesis 28 says, he had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. What do you do to the broken people in your life? How do you respond when you see the brokenness in the people around you? Well, if it's anything like myself, you might say, oh, bad you. Why'd you do that? That's horrible. So, interestingly, Ray's story this morning with the children's story. I have a similar story that my dad and I had an experience. I was trying to take a video camera apart. It was an old video camera. In our brokenness, and when we fall, crash, and burn, what is God's response? And I believe this picture of what we see God speaking to Jacob is how he wants to respond to you and I in our brokenness. Was it God saying, oh, Jacob, bad job. You cheated your brother out of his blessing. You tricked your father into giving you the blessing. You lied numerous times to make it happen. No. I think God and his spirit was working on Jacob, and Jacob recognized clearly those things, right? He saw, oh, If I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have to run away right now. But what God shows, if there was any inkling in Jacob's heart, wondering if God was with him, it was gone when he woke up in the morning. For verse 12 shows Jacob that maybe that connection between earth and heaven, between Jacob and heaven, between Jacob and God, that it was still connected, that there was a connection between him and God still, even in the midst of his brokenness. Man, isn't God good? God is good to Jacob to show him, hey, yes, you have crashed and burned, but the connection is still open. Not only that, but when was the last time someone around you, in their brokenness, in their sin, you blessed them and you reassured them of that God has great plans for them? That's what happens here. God says, hey, I'm going to bless you and your descendants. I'm going to bring you back to this land, and where your head is lying, I'm going to give you this land and your descendants. God is a good God. God wants to bless you and to pick you up in the midst of your brokenness and encourage you to move forward with him. Jesus in John chapter 1 and verse 51. John chapter 1 and verse 51. He's talking to Nathanael, and he says, talking about this text, he said, I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. When you and I believe and think that our brokenness has cut us off from God, what bridges the gap between us and God? It is Jesus. Jesus bridges your brokenness back in connection with heaven. So what is the answer to our brokenness? Jesus is the answer to our brokenness. I am broken. What am I going to do about it? I'm going to turn to Jesus. You are broken. You know what that looks like. Maybe you don't even know what that looks like, but you recognize you're broken. What are you going to do about it? Turn to Jesus. Jesus is the one who can fix the brokenness that you and I can't fix. There's a few texts that talk about who Jesus is in our life. In John chapter 14 and verse 6. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Both chapters 14 and 15 are beautiful here in the book of John. But Jesus wants to show us that he is the way. He says here, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way. Another text found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57. But thanks be to God, he who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I can have victory in our lives through Jesus Christ. Now, if you're anything like me, you want to do it on your own. You want to put your socks on the way you want to put them on. You want to put your shoes on. You want to figure out, okay, I got to do this, 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 and this. You want to work harder to make it happen. Okay, well, you know, I might crash and burn in that, but if I do this, this, and this, I can fix it. I can fix it. I can make it better. You name whatever your life looks like. It was neat this week as I was preparing for today's sermon. It seemed like God was just handing me similar themed things over and over and over again. And I got to the point in the week where I was focused and challenged on my desire to want to muscle my way through my life and my Christian walk and my salvation, my ability to get to heaven because of what I'm doing. And I read this in just a random book that I pick up every once in a while. It's a quote by Vince Lombardi. If you don't know who it is, you can look it up later. The statement is this: the harder you work, the harder it is to surrender. The harder you work, the harder it is to surrender. Now, I'm pretty sure that the context that he spoke that in was nothing to do with what we're talking about today. But the statement was true for me. The harder the work, the harder I work, the harder it is for me to surrender. Because of all that I've done, I've done all this, I can make it happen. And the harder we try, the harder we feel we need to try. But God is asking us to surrender. Surrender it to Him. It seems super simple. Okay, so what you're saying, Pastor Ryan, is that I'm broken. Valid. Everyone's broken. Let Jesus do it. The sermon, this thought today, is not comprehensive on everything that we can learn about this. The Bible has tons to say about what God wants to do in our lives. In the last week or so, besides my devotions in the morning that I have beside my wife Bridget, I am going through this Bible app with some friends, and we listen to the Bible scriptures. And recently, it's been going over the kings of Judah. And I'm excited when it gets to a good king and he's doing great things and God is conquering things. He's allowing prosperity to happen. And then he chooses to be prideful or walk away. And I'm like, no, don't. Oh. It's a New Living Translation, and I enjoy every translation, most every translation. Greek and Hebrew are a little rough. But it was beautiful, the picture that it showed me of these individuals as they walked with God and as they crashed and burned. And it made me reflect on, and I'm just like, why do you do that? Like, God blessed you in your journey, and then you decide to walk away from Him? What were you doing? But as I listened to these scripture verses, it challenged me to reflect on the times when I do that. The times when I take my eyes off of God, take my eyes off of Jesus, and do it on my own. So, something I didn't share first service, but I'm going to share with you guys right now. If you turn back to Genesis chapter 28, here at the end of chapter 28, we see Jacob's response. And it is a response that I pray that you and I will have just like Jacob. So we're going to read the last part of the chapter. Chapter 28, verses 16 through the end, verse 22. It says, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I am not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called the place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And as all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. The reason I share this last part of chapter 28 is to reflect on Jacob's response to God's move in his direction. What do you do as you walk out the doors today? Do you not reflect on what you studied in Sabbath school or what was presented today? Do you say, you know what? Brokenness, focusing on Jesus, no big deal. Or do you, like Jacob, recognize God speaking into your life and you do something about it? You respond. God is asking us to respond. Today, yes, but every day as we journey with Him. Now, the challenge we still face, right? Okay, Pastor Ryan, that's easy. I'm broken. What am I going to do about it? Okay, Jesus. Jesus is the answer. So how do you get to know Jesus? So I preached last week. I'm preaching this week. The three previous Sabbaths here at the church, Pastor Roger spoke about Scripture, right? If you didn't catch those, you can go on Facebook or on the church website. You can watch those. But one of the best ways to get to know Jesus Christ is by actually reading about Him, listening to Him, and experiencing Him through Scripture. Whether you're in Genesis or in Revelation or anywhere in between, God can speak to you just the way you need to, in just the perfect way in any place in Scripture. I've had it. I've been up and I've been down, and God will speak to me just what I needed in that moment. And what He's speaking to me is not what He's speaking to you. He can encourage you. He can challenge you. He can say kind words to you. And then sometimes He can say the words that are needed to be said to you in that moment. And then the challenge that you have, how do you respond? Something that if you have not studied the Bible in depth, or you haven't spent a lot of time in the Bible, but you know someone that does or that has, and you know that they have a relationship with Jesus, you can see it in their life, it kind of shows, pull up alongside them. And, you know, if people think, so my name's Ryan, I'm a pastor here at the church, but part of us being a part of a community of believers is, my name's Ryan, I'm a pastor here, but if I am not in a good place, I can't wait for someone to come to me and say, Ryan, are you not in a good place? I need to see the walks of some of you who you're in a good place. God's bubbling out of you, and I can't help but see it as I walk through the lobby. And I have the opportunity in this community to walk up beside you and say, hey, how's it going? My name's Ryan. I'm a pastor. Tell me about your walk with Jesus. And if maybe you guessed wrong and they're like, walk with Jesus? What does that look like? Then, you know, grab their arm and walk to someone else and find someone who has a walk with Jesus and is in Scripture and ask them to journey with you. Something else besides studying Scripture is prayer. God wants to talk to you. God wants to hear you talk to Him. Spend time in prayer. Again, if you don't know what that means, what that looks like, talk to someone about what that looks like. I was having lunch or dinner with someone this week, and they asked me a question. They said, hey, so what about this in Scripture? And I said, I don't know. But let's figure it out. The last thing is, so get to know Jesus in Scripture. Get to know Jesus by talking to Him in prayer. And the final thing is learn to share what God, how God speaks into your life. As God speaks into your life, when you share it, it shows that it's meaningful to you, that you're excited about it. When I'm excited about something and I come home, Bridget can see that. She's like, what? And I'm like, what? And then she pulls it out of me. Now, my wife, if you know Bridget, she can't hide anything for, at least that she's excited about. She can't hide it because she kind of, she's not like Thumper on the, but she floats a little bit more, right? And so I can't help but see what she's excited about. But as God speaks into your life, as He fixes the brokenness that is you, share that with people. Find a community group, not necessarily a group, but like anyone that you can connect with and share that. And by you doing that, you are a blessing, and it will It will put down some roots on what you're excited about, what you're talking about. So a short little story to illustrate what I'm asking you to do. There is a pastor who tells a story of this young couple who came to church. And they might not, if they walked in the front doors of this church, they weren't wearing a tie. They weren't, it wasn't just perfect. But thankfully, that congregation loved on this couple. The pastor said, hey, let's do Bible studies. And so he started going to their house, doing Bible studies, looking through what God had to say in Scripture. And the pastor shows up several weeks out. And he shows up, and some of the things that used to be a part of their life that he saw around their house and in their lifestyle, it disappeared. And he's like, oh no. What church member said something to them? So he kind of awkwardly brings it up one time. He's like, hey, so I noticed that you're not doing this or this, and some of these things have changed. Like, I'm so sorry. What church member talked to you about those things? And they're like, no, Pastor. We were reading the Bible, and the Bible challenged us, and God encouraged us to do these things, and that's why we're doing them now. Right, amen. There's not someone in the lobby that is, You know what I'm talking about. We can be, the beautiful thing about God is that He will do it in your life for the things that you're challenged with in just the way you need it to happen. He can speak to you through Scripture, through multiple different ways. If you are willing to respond to Him, He will change the brokenness in your life and make it beautiful. I pray today that you will get to know Jesus Christ. That as you get to know Him, He can change you from the inside out. And He wants to start that work now, not wait till He comes in the clouds and takes us to heaven. Let me say a prayer for you all this afternoon. Father in heaven, thank you so much that you are our God, that you are the God who loves us right where we're at, and that you want to encourage us in our brokenness and move us forward. God, help us to get to know Jesus. Help us to get into your word, to spend time in prayer. God, as we get closer to Christmas, this time of season where we focus on Jesus, help us to truly do it. Thank you, Lord, for your love. May you fix our brokenness as you did for many of those who came before us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.